Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined this morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Guys, tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking. We'd love to see that. Obviously, get your questions in. We'll get to as many as we can here in just a little bit. But let's start with Sark's press conference yesterday. What were y'all's main takeaways from that?
The practice on Saturday was as physical as we described it.
Yeah,
that's my first and foremost comment, I think, Jerry. It was clear that he is focused on making this team physical and ready for the SEC. That was the takeaway that I took. But he also kind of – it was a little bit of a share the praise day.
Yeah. Too.
You know, there were a lot of guys getting, you know, pats on the back from Steve Sarkisian. He talked about just about every single position on the field except for maybe quarterback. He didn't really talk about quarterback of all the ones. I mean, he touched on running backs, tight ends, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, secondary, but not quarterback. Not that that's interesting or what have you, but you kind of track things, and it tells you more than anything for me that Texas and him and Steve Sarkisian they kind of just set quarterback aside because they know they're in good shape.
What CJ and I talked about yesterday, it's great for Texas fans. This is not a quarterback controversy because Sark gets to talk about more players. He's not getting four or five questions in every press conference about quarterback and Quinn and the competition and all these things. So it's great for Texas fans because you're getting to hear more about other players and Sark talk about other players. One of my big takeaways, and thanks for letting us all know where you're checking in from. There's Ski Breck from the Ozarks. But I always get jealous. I'm jealous on half of these. Sark is confident, guys. That's one of my takeaways. He was confident before last season in August. Remember we were talking about how confident he was in front of the mic, and we were like, ooh, that's different. He has the same level of confidence this spring, if not more.
He's talking about championships. Yep. In his opening statements, hey, if we're going to compete for championships, we need to do this. It's just Texas is just taking that next step. That's what's happening right now, and that's what he's seeing. And the other thing I took away from it, Jerry, I want to get your thought on this. He keeps mentioning Pete Carroll. I really believe, and the more I think about this, he runs his practices more like Pete Carroll did than what Nick Saban did. That's not a bad thing. It's just some people prefer other ways of doing things. And what I mean by that is Pete Carroll always had a quick, you know, up-tempo practice, Jerry. Yeah. And I don't think he can be someone he's not, but just another mention of Pete Carroll yesterday too just makes me think more and more that's kind of who he sees himself as trying to emulate, whereas I think there are parts of Nick Saban from an organization standpoint that anybody would be a fool not to take with them. So
yeah.
there's a pieces from both of them. And, look, you can't have two better mentors than that when it comes to winning football games.
Also makes you wonder if Pete Carroll might make an appearance or two around Texas soon.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering about there. I see new towns, new cities, people checking in from. It's so awesome to hear from all you guys. The other thing, you know, my takeaway was he confirmed that Colin Simmons had a really good scrimmage. He said Jalen Gilbo is back, which means they're seeing the same guy they saw early on as a freshman with Jalen Gilbo before the knee injury kind of slowed him down last year. I thought those were two key takeaways from yesterday for me, because if Jalen Gilbo is back to what he was and you want to add some versatility to Jahdae Barron in that scheme, that's how it's going to happen.
All right, y'all. Well, one other thing that we need to talk about today is the portal opening April 16th. Not long at all, but there was an interesting development that came out yesterday. I'm going to let y'all take the reins on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Hayes Fawcett, former co-worker at On3, said that he has heard that or been told that Bear Alexander will be entering the portal. Bear Alexander is originally from the state of Texas, played at several different high schools in the state of Texas, then signed with Georgia out of high school, transferred to USC last year as a sophomore, And if he transfers again, it'll be his third school in 3 years. That being said, Beryl Alexander can play zero technique. let's be clear. He can play over the top of the ball, which I think is what Texas is looking for. I was told yesterday with no room for budge, Texas would absolutely be interested. And furthermore, from Bear Alexander's side of things, Texas would be I wouldn't say likely destination, but Texas would definitely be heavily considered. If he goes in the portal, I think it's better than a 50-50 shot he ends up the Longhorn.
Yeah, and some people are commenting there. So for the people that aren't familiar with Bear Alexander, here's kind of the deal. He started high school at Terrell, and I may miss one, okay, to be clear. He went Terrell, IMG, Denton Ryan, Fort Worth Brewer in high school. He may have been somewhere else in between there for a little while for a semester. Maybe Dallas Skyline for a semester. Then he went Georgia, USC, and now expected to go on the portal. So it's either 7 or 8 schools in 7 years for him. So my thing with him, I hope he finds some consistency. A talented player. Hope he finds some consistency. Talented guy. It would be nice for him to find some consistency. But he's a talented player for sure.
Look, I mean, we can, talk real, or we can talk like guys that, want to be high and mighty. Texas needs help at defensive tackle. We've said that. And people said, oh, well, we got some guys coming on. And they do. Okay. Sark even mentioned Aaron Bryant yesterday, for example, right? Sadir Mitchell, Dre Bledsoe, and guys like Alex January as well. But the reality of it is Texas lost 2 first round or second round or third round picks here in Byron Murphy and Tavondre Swift. Alfred Collins and Vernon Broughton are not reasonable are not as good as those guys at defensive line. Now, Collins has the talent to be. Broughton is a good player. Broughton is a little bit lower from a talent perspective simply because of his body type. He's not built to anchor. And so I find it interesting that Texas loses Adonai Mitchell. They lose Xavier Worthy. And they lose also Jordan Whittington. Well, Sark goes out and signs 3 wide receivers in the portal. They lose Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat and Moro Ojomo and Keandre Comer in a 2-year period. You don't think they're going to go out and get some people from the portal too? And not all of them are going to be, have everything that you want to. But as far as I know, Bear Alexander's never been in trouble with the law. Right. I mean, even if he's transferred, et cetera. So my opinion here is they're looking for guys that can be over the ball, and they need big bodies that can compete in the SEC. And look, Bear Alexander's already proven he could compete in the SEC. He played as a true freshman at Georgia. So everybody can't be perfect. And that's what I was trying to get at today. It's like you can't have 85 choir boys. That's not a football team. That's a choir. Those don't win football games. And people that have played football or been on a team at Texas know exactly what I'm talking about. It takes a football team is not a basketball team or where you can, 12 players, 85 players, man, that is a cross section of the world. I mean, that's just 85 different types of individuals. They're not even, you can talk about culture and you can actually get people to resolve to your culture, but they're not coming in with that. So I feel good about Texas going after this. And I want to add this. They're not done at defensive tackle if they get Bear Alexander. This is the whole thing. Well, oh, they're going to have him. That's their big – no, they're not going to be done. We've been saying this whole time. If that were the only defensive tackle they were lined up to take, then you might start saying, oh, well, they're not getting enough snaps out of it because he may only be able to take 20 to 25 a game. That's not the only one they're going to go after, guys. So they're looking to complete this situation in the aggregate. So keep that up. That's my take on it.
Hey, this is a good note here from Tim Samuels. He says Bear followed his stepfather to Fort Worth Brewer, where his father was a coach. And after enrolling a week before the start of school, the UIL ruled against the transfer, hence the move to IMG. So, little note there. All right, guys, we got a lot of questions already coming in, and we got some more to talk about. But before we talk about all that, Bobby, can you tell folks out there about Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm?
Yeah, absolutely. Adam's a good friend of ours at the On Texas Football and Coffee at Football. If you've been injured in a car wreck, motorcycle accident, ATV, Adam's who you want to call. He and his firm do a free consultation, no strings attached, to see if you might be due compensation. Just reach out to him either by phone or email or online at lowylawfirm.com. Adam's been in the city of Austin for 20-plus years now, helping people that have been injured either in a car wreck, bike, motorcycle, etc. Give Adam and his folks a chance to earn your business if that's something that you need and representation you need. We appreciate Adam very, very much.
And we see all the Bear questions, but we'll get to those here in a little bit. But first, let's talk about one of the 5-star visitors that were on campus yesterday. Jerry, give us the rundown.
Yeah, Michael Fasusi, big visitor yesterday. Big meaning 6'5", 300, but big for the Texas staff. Michael Fasusi, 5-star offensive tackle out of Louisville High up in DFW, north of Dallas, on the way to Denton there. Has been on the radar for colleges since late freshman year. But he was on campus yesterday. It was a big visit for Texas because he didn't attend the January 20 Junior Day, which means it was during the season is the last time Texas saw him in person on campus. Obviously, Sark, Flood, Deshaun Choice were by the school in January. But Fasusi and his father came down yesterday, watched the majority of practice. They had some traffic, I think, so they're a little late getting there. But they watched the majority of practice. And that wasn't the kind of the key thing. It was in the meeting rooms after, kind of talking with Sark and Flood. But the big part of yesterday's visit, from what I was told, was they took a detailed tour and look at the McCombs Business School. I think that's a good data point for Texas in this recruitment. I continue to believe Texas and Oklahoma are the top two. I think A&M's fighting their way into consideration. Missouri's right there. And then there's a couple on the peripheral, USC or Georgia. He's got the 3 June official visits lined up. That's A&M the 7th through 9th, Oklahoma the 14th through 16th, and Texas gets the last visit the 21st through 23rd. But it was a good visit day yesterday for Texas because they came down more on their own, wanted more one-on-one time than coming in with the big recruit setting where there was 20-plus guys there. So it was a very positive day yesterday for Texas with Michael Fasusi from a football standpoint, but just as important, if not more important, on yesterday's visit from an academic standpoint. So I think Texas has some confidence. I think Oklahoma has some confidence. But I think Texas is well positioned in this recruitment. It's just going to, you know, look, it's one of the top players in the country. It's going to be a battle, you know, and it should be. These guys we're talking about are big-time recruiting battles. It's the way it should be.
Hey, Jerry, I also saw you post a picture of a quarterback that was on campus. He's huge.
Yeah, Grant Smith from Grand Oaks. Yeah, Grant Smith from Grand Oaks. He's a 2026 quarterback. He's about 6'4", 210. His dad played at Klein Oak and played linebacker at Sam Houston State. He's in that Grand Oaks, that new school kind of east of I-45 and north part of Spring, right before you start to get into that Oak Ridge and the Woodlands area. But he was started 5 games. There he is on the right yesterday. Maybe he may be closing in on 6'5", actually.
I was going to say, Trey Owens is a big guy, and that's Trey there, number 15.
Yeah.
Yesterday. That's a big, you know, that's for a high school sophomore going to be a junior.
Yeah. Yeah. Big kid. And he was a first-year starter last year at Grand Oaks. So he's one of the – look, Texas has – they had 3 offers out. Derek Curtis committed, the quarterback from Nashville, Jack Curtis, committed to Georgia. He's off the board. So Texas has Troy Hune, an offer out to him, who was on campus last weekend, and Dia Bell, the son of Raja Bell, at American Heritage there in Plantation, Florida. Those two 26s have offers. Will Griffin from Tampa Jesuits coming in town this weekend. Then Grant Smith, Jet Surratt at Carthage. There's a number of guys that A.J. Milwee is going to go out and watch and evaluate in the spring evaluation period coming up. But 2 guys in 26 have offers. I think Texas is in a pretty good spot for Troy Hune right now. We'll see how quickly quarterbacks kind of get off the board in 26 because with Curtis committing to Georgia, South Carolina has a quarterback commitment already from out the state of Alabama. those 26 quarterbacks, there's a little more movement early this year with some of these guys. I'm not sure, like KJ Lacy committed June 3rd last year at the Texas Elite Day, Camp Day. I'm not sure that Texas doesn't have some movement before then. We'll see. I mean, it's a month and a half out, essentially, but it's possible.
Jerry, a preview of guys coming in this weekend. There's another – last weekend it was double-digit or two dozen or so that came in, all elite players. Any big names coming in this weekend? A lot of 26s, I think, sprinkled in as well.
Oh, big time, big time. Look, John Turntine III, the offensive tackle from North Crowley. I've been on record now, continue to be on record. I think he was the best prospect in the state of Texas last year, regardless of classification, meaning what grade you're in. I think he's that talented of a guy. If you just go watch Turntine's sophomore tape and then go back to Kelvin Banks' sophomore tape and on his huddle at Summer Creek there, you see why John Turntine is such a high-end prospect at a young age. Now, these kids have to keep developing, but John Turntine from North Crowley will be in. Then Katoa, who I'll never pronounce his first name right, the offensive guard out of Euless Trinity, who's a large human that can move and is very aggressive and can bend. He'll be in. Then the offensive tackle, one of the fast risers, Felix Ogie from Lake Ridge, Mansfield, will be in as well. So it's a lot of 2026s coming in Saturday to watch Texas practice. And three big-time offensive linemen. I'm here to tell you right now, Turntine and Katoa, they could commit to Texas right now. That's how talented they are. Obviously, Turntine is going to be a five-star and probably a top 10 prospect in the country in the 2026 class. I also want to mention Kelshawn Johnson, some news there out of Hitchcock. I spoke with some people around that recruitment late last night, and here's Kelshawn Johnson, who I think is one of the just the most explosive players in the country in 26. I mean, he runs 10-5, and he doesn't even train. I mean, he's not a DFW or Houston area big school guy training for track. I mean, he goes from football to basketball to track, and he's always late getting in the track because Hitchcock's won the last two basketball state titles. But he made the visit Saturday with Jonah Williams and his family, Galveston County kids. They've known each other a while because Kelshawn's mom is in nursing, so she had to work last weekend. So the key in that was Sarkisian made contact Sunday night with Kelshawn and his mom, and they're really pushing to get her and him back on campus April 20th for the spring game. So that tells you a little bit right there. They were hoping Kelshawn's mom could have made that visit. That didn't happen because of work schedule. Here you go. I mean, this kid's got he's got a lot of juice now, guys. This guy can accelerate. He's built very similar to Xavier Worthy. He can really pick him up and put him down and change direction. But that kind of tells you that Texas, their pursuit of Kelshawn Johnson, they're trying to get him back for the April 20th spring game. The problem for Texas, and also A&M and Oklahoma have spring games the same day, guys. This is something to monitor. That's the same weekend as the regional track meets. So there you go right there. I mean, it seems like you've seen Xavier Worthy do that in the Cotton Bowl one year, right? You saw that exact same catch and that exact same move. So the problem is this regional track meets are on Friday, Saturday, the 19th, 20th. That's going to knock a lot of guys out. Like DeCorian Moore won't likely be back for the Texas spring game because he has a regional track meet that day. Kelshawn Johnson, regional track meet Friday, Saturday. So we'll see if some of those kids come to Austin but miss the spring game. I don't think the spring game's important in these recruitments. I think Texas is just working to get Kelshawn and his mom back on campus.
All right, y'all. Good stuff there, Jerry. And we got a couple of super chats that we need to read real quick, fellas. And this first one here from Jay Lee. Thank you, Jay, for the super chat. He says, I was with OB Orange Bloods for years, but recently swapped to you all. Two questions. What happened to Ian? He was great. And number two, for those like me who don't know much about y'all, any chance you could give us a quick bio? And thank you again.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, Ian Boyd works with Inside Texas. We like Ian as well. He's been working with them since we took off from them in December. Jerry rejoined in February to recreate what has been On Texas Football for us. We started a website now. Please check us out on ontexasfootball.com. I know a lot of people don't like follow the ins and outs of the industry, et cetera. Long story short, On Texas Football is the place where Jerry, myself, Rod Babers, CJ Vogel, Blake, Coach Shipley, and others participate on an ongoing basis. So please join us if you get a chance. Become an OG at On Texas Football. My personal background is I graduated from the University of Texas. While at Texas, guys, I worked for the football team. I taped every single video, I videoed every single practice and home and away game, cut up high school video for recruits, all of that stuff. Then I went on to work at the University of Houston postgraduate in the recruiting office there. And then I started working in the recruiting industry, writing newsletters, that sort of stuff for a group out of Austin called the National Recruiting Advisor. And then I helped found Rivals and 24/7 Sports over the years. And then now I'm just focused on Texas, which is my passion and which is what I love to do. So that's why I'm here for you guys each and every morning.
I'm over two decades in now. I think 23 years. I think that's what it is, or maybe 23 is next year. But my dad coached high school ball for 30 plus years in Texas. So I grew up, you know, Friday Night Lights, grew up on the sidelines, was a ball boy, got knocked out or close to knocked out a couple of times, had a blast on team buses with the teams going to playoff games or whatnot. So, I mean, it's why I love Longview, the games at Longview so much. My dad was on staff, was offensive coordinator at Nacogdoches for a few years. So as a kid, I kind of grew up in that district, man, which was the original maybe District of Doom back when one team made the playoffs in part of the 80s. So I've been, you know, I started with Rivals and I was at ESPN Under Armour for a decade. And this job has been really, career has been great for me. Because, you know, when you grow up and you're a kid and you watch some of these really good players, you know, like I remember my dad and the coaching staff he was at went to scout Galveston Ball Angleton game. That's the first time I ever saw Casey Hampton. And I still haven't seen a better defensive lineman in a high school game in Texas than Casey Hampton to this day. And I saw Casey Hampton and David Warren, I mean, on the same field. I mean, so, you know, you grew up with this and that really makes you kind of follow the recruiting process and love that recruiting process. And so I'm lucky, man. This business, I've got to see all these kids, whether it's Jadeveon Clowney when I was part of ESPN Under Armour, these guys in high school, you know, you go to St. Augustine High in New Orleans and you see Leonard Fournette in the eighth grade walking across a practice field and you're sitting there watching Tyrann Mathieu practice and you ask the St. Aug coach, who's this guy that's late for practice? He said, this is Leonard Fournette. You'll be coming back to see him in a few years. Obviously, we had him in the Under Armour game. But just getting to see all these guys around the country, man, is so much fun. And it's so interesting. Great thing about this business is for those of us that are from Texas and grow up in Texas, we know how great the high school football is on Friday nights. It's the best in the country. Then when you go, you know, I lived in Florida for a while as well. I lived in Charlotte when we used to do the recruiting TV shows out of ESPNU. But you live in Florida, totally different. You know, three, four full-time high school coaches, right? So you see, I've got to see it all, see how it's different for kids in different areas. It's just, I'm lucky. And I can't wait to get in the car in the spring evaluation period. We're going to go have a little fun in May, that's for sure.
We're ready to see you in the command center, Jerry.
Yes. We're going to Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, and Florida, that's for sure, in May.
All garden spots. Jerry, what? And you got to tell people the other thing is Jerry. For those that haven't been with us long, Jerry loves beef jerky on the road. So if you have any beef jerky, just like I like the coffee in the morning, Jerry likes beef jerky suggestions. Yeah. If you're in the middle of nowhere and might have one for him. So
yeah. I'm on the no man's land right now. Beef jerky. That one's kind of grown on me. I love the Robertsons from Love's, but you know, the cool thing about this job, like for you guys, for the fans, bringing it to the fans, when you're on the road, you're actually on the road and you're not sitting behind the keyboard telling everybody who's good. I love being on the road. I love showing you pictures from the high school. Love showing, talking about the areas, right? And talking about those experiences, being there, traveling to see these kids and these coaches and bringing it to you guys. That's what y'all should want as fans.
Some of y'all are killing me in the chat. All right, guys. We have another super chat here from Ryan Nelson. And thank you, Ryan. He says, Bobby, the playoff will expand. Take your show now.
Yeah, it will. It's going to end up going to 16, is my opinion. The question is, how many SEC teams and how many Big Ten teams do they get out of that? I'm guaranteeing you they're trying for four. If it's 14, they want four. Four each. So eight of the 14 would be Big Ten SEC. And the rest of the folks are going to get upset. But you know what? They're going to want it.
Okay, y'all. I need to tell everybody out there about Prize Picks this morning, one of our sponsors. And let's see here if I can find the read. Sorry about that. I'm pulling a Jerry this morning. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. And Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from baseball to golf, basketball, UFC, and everything in between. The folks at Prize Picks have you covered. That also means more attention on your favorite players as well. So you can pick Shohei Ohtani, Jordan Spieth, Kevin Durant, all in the same entry. And Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including right here in the great state of Texas. And I have some big news as well. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. That means you can turn $10 into $1,000 with your entry today on America's number one fantasy sports app, Prize Picks. And for our first-time users, we have a great deal. Prize Picks is going to give you a first deposit match of up to $100. All you have to do is go to the App Store, search for Prize Picks, and download the app. Then use promo code ONTEXAS when signing up. Prize Picks also offers weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments in sports, including this weekend in UFC action, which is why I'm all over that. I love UFC, and Prize Picks adds even more excitement to my viewing experience. I have the highlight, Justin Gaethje himself, with more than half a strike. That's the special they're running right now, so you need to be all over that. Obviously a no-brainer. And I'm pairing it up with Bobby Green having more than 75 significant strikes. So to join me in those picks, you can download the app, go to the App Store, search for Prize Picks, download it, use promo code ONTEXAS, get that first deposit match of up to $100, and that's Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Hey, how are you not doing something on Scottie Scheffler or Jordan Spieth in the Masters? That's what I want to know.
Because
Jerry, who do you have? Hey, Jerry, who do you have in the Masters this year? You're a golf aficionado.
That's the other part of my bio. I used to when I lived down in Jupiter, I used to do the ESPN Honda Classic, ESPN West Palm Honda Classic PGA Tour show on Sundays. It's a tough one, man. You know, the live guys don't play as much competitive golf anymore. I think John Rahm wants it really bad. It's supposed to be some rough weather Thursday. I think one of the big bets is out there is Tiger going to play all four rounds? By the way, your point, I think Scottie Scheffler on the tour is playing at such a high level, right? And he fits it. Yeah, he fits it. He's done it before. I think Jordan's too wild off the tee, man. It's just there's too many big numbers for him. The crazy thing about the Masters is a guy like Denny McCarthy, even though that tournament ended poorly for him Sunday, the way he's rolling the rock right now, the streak he's gotten on putting the ball, you got to watch out for those guys. I kind of like John Rahm a little bit this week. I'll be honest. I kind of like Rahm. I call him Rahm because everybody calls him Rambo. But by the way, for the real golf guys out there, Golf Channel, I didn't get to see it. I was on the move last night or somewhere else, but Golf Channel ran a special on Tiger Woods 2019 win at the Masters. If you haven't seen it, I would go watch it.
Okay, and we have a guest joining us shortly, but I think he's having some camera issues, so we will wait on that, and we'll jump over to some questions real quick. And let's start with this one from Antoine. He says, any news on Trey Owens' development?
I don't know that there's news other than he's running third string now,
yeah,
officially. So, of course, there were a couple of different quarterbacks that were walk-ons ahead of him. He's now running third string. So we'll see him in the spring game quite a bit, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I think the question marks around him are, is he going to be able to process the game fast enough? Because here's the reality. I watched one practice in person and he has the arm strength. He can make every throw. So just like Arch, just like Quinn, the arm strength is not an issue. Size, he's bigger than both Arch and Quinn. The question will be his footwork a little bit and processing speed.
And he's a true pocket quarterback with good feet. So, for instance, like people are going to take this the wrong way, but we're just talking here. He's got better feet in the pocket than Malik Murphy for me. Quicker moving feet.
Yeah, okay.
So that I'm just using that as a reference there for guys the similar size, right? So he's got quicker feet in the pocket than you think. He's still a pocket quarterback. He's not a guy that you'll. And Sark's not running quarterbacks anyways, but when you're flushed out of the pocket, he's not going to be that guy that's going to be making all those plays with his feet outside the pocket. His strength is going to be in the pocket, getting the football out of his hand. But he's got good feet in the pocket, if that makes sense, versus a guy that with escapability outside the pocket, making plays with his feet on the move. And that doesn't mean he can't throw the ball well on the move. I'm talking in situations where, okay, you got to go put that ball under your arm and go do something with it. That's not really going to be him. He's a pocket passer with good feet in the pocket. And Sark doesn't recruit guys that can't make all the throws. He says it all the time. So if Texas takes a quarterback, they can make all the throws.
I will add this. Malik Murphy's not a bad comp for Trey Owens. Not a bad comp, Jerry, when you really think about it, because they both – the thing about both of them, they have heavy arms.
Yeah.
It's not just making all the throws. I mean, they've got heavy arms. So that's interesting. Quarterback, as we opened this whole thing with, quarterback is not going to be an issue for Texas. I want to go back to where – we got about 1,000 people joined us, actually, either via Twitter or the YouTube channel in the last – 30 minutes here, Blake and Jerry. So I want to reset a little bit of what we talked about. We talked about, first of all, that Texas and what Steve Sarkisian had to say yesterday on the topic of the team. Right now, he gave a lot of plaudits to definitely just about every area of the team, save quarterback, because he doesn't have a quarterback controversy he has to talk about. I didn't mention this one player that needed to be mentioned, because Jerry, you mentioned Jalen Gilbo. One of the questions we had going into the spring was whether or not Jelani McDonald, who has all the talent you're going to want, like this guy could be a 10-year pro physically, right, Jerry? He's got that kind of look to him, but is he going to be a 10-year player, right? Is he going to be that kind of guy? And Sark really doted on him a little bit in the press conference for the first time, in my opinion. Really went hard on Jelani McDonald making the transition quite a bit. So I'm happy about that.
If you lined up the top five guys on the team as far as, okay, these are the best looking guys physically at their positions, Jelani McDonald's maybe one or two on that group of the top five. I mean, that's in person, unbelievable. He looks tremendous physically. He looks exactly like somebody you draw up. I mean, that's what Jelani McDonald looks like, a multi-sport athlete. Obviously, his father, LaMarcus McDonald, is a really good linebacker at TCU under Gary Patterson. I mean, did Waco High put out some good linebackers? I mean, Derek Johnson, LaMarcus McDonald, I mean, within range of each other. They may have actually even played with each other when Derek was younger and LaMarcus was a little older. But he's Jelani McDonald's a unique talent. And this last year has been a learning year at a position for the first time in his life. I mean, he's been a quarterback. He's kind of played everywhere at Connolly because they had to have him to win games, right? So this was, last year was a big development year for him, locking in and learning a singular position, probably for the first time truly in his football existence. The other thing I wanted to mention is I was told again yesterday, running back room is stacked at Texas. I mean, stacked. We talk about Baxter and Blue a lot on this show. We mentioned Trey Wisner. I was told again last night he's had a tremendous spring. So when the running back room has that much talent coming back, sometimes we don't talk about the freshmen as much. I was told that Clark and Jarrett Gibson have both been really, really impressive this spring. So Texas running back room is as loaded as you guys think it is, and that's a good sign.
Okay, y'all, I believe we are ready now. And, Bobby, I'm going to let you make the introduction and explain while I bring Brett in.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Brett, welcome to the show. Brett Wilkinson, he is our resident expert, a UT grad, by the way, on the Director's Cup, which is the all sports trophy. Folks had asked us about what the standings were and if we could have someone on to talk about that, given the Longhorns run in the women's basketball tournament. The men's basketball tournament just finished as well. Brett, welcome to the show, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bobby.
Well, welcome back. Give people a little insight on what you do, and then we'll put up the standings here so you you can talk about them as well.
Yeah, and forgive me if my internet's choppy or if my lighting's off. We just lost power here in New Orleans. That line of storms that postponed the Texas baseball finish last night is hitting us right now. So we'll see how this goes. But yeah, thanks for having me. Like Bobby said, I've been following the Director's Cup now for a couple years. And one thing with the Director's Cup is they do not release very many updates to their scoring. So you're kind of sitting around waiting for months at a time to see where the standings sit. So what I decided to do was, you know, update the rankings after each championship finishes and then, you know, post that out mostly on my Twitter, also on the message boards, just so people can see how this is progressing kind of moment by moment instead of waiting for these big updates that happen once every 3 months.
So if you're looking at it right now with 19 of 37 programs, both men and women, by the way, completed, Stanford looks like they have a fairly sizable lead over Texas. It was Stanford that dethroned the Longhorns last year to win the Director's Cup. But you know, what do you think it looks like this year, Brett, based on not only where Texas is, but where Stanford and other competitors might be? And how do you see this playing out right now?
Yeah, exactly. And one thing to keep in mind is, you know, there's 37 NCAA sports. Stanford competes in 31 of those. Ohio State, Michigan actually compete in 32. Texas, on the other hand, competes in 20. So right there, you see that there's a big numbers advantage for some of these programs. So early in the season, even at this part of the season, Texas has only completed maybe 10 sports. Stanford has five or six more. So they've already had so many more scoring opportunities than Texas. So the fact that Texas is in second place right now is just, it really shows how strong the start has been for Texas. And what will happen is you can only count 19 of your sports. So as you can see in the Stanford scorecard that Blake put up, all the grayed out sports here for Stanford, they're not going to count at the end of the day, because once they meet 19, they're done. So Texas, by the end of the year, will have 19 or 20 sports that are scoring. We're hoping to drop that women's cross country that scored only 28 points. So by the end of the year, it's going to be 19 versus 19, and Texas can start catching up. But the fact that they're in second place is really strong for this part of the year. They have not been this highly ranked in the past, even when they've won the Director's Cup. So they're in a really strong spot. Stanford and Texas both started out really hot in the fall. They were doing better than both of the programs had done last year. And then both cooled off a bit in the spring. So with basketball, Texas really broke even. The men's and women's basketball teams basically swapped positions from what they finished last year. So that's okay. That doesn't really hurt. It was big that the basketball team made the tournament. You know, for a while there, that was looking a little shaky. So they pulled it off, and basketball did fine. Women's swimming just wrapped up a second place finish, so that was huge. Men's swimming was decent, not as good as it's been in the past as they make this transition away from Eddie Reese. And probably the bigger disappointments in the winter sports came from track and field. You can see they finished down in the teens. Both of those teams had athletes that ranked number one in the nation going into the championship. And it was, I think, Akayla Smith is the jumper for the women. And I think it was Youssef Bismani who runs the 800 for the men. They got 0 points at the NCAA championship. So that really hurt the track and field teams. That's, you know, 10 points that those teams were expecting and they didn't get. And you can see they finished in the teens there. So that kind of cooled things off. All that said, the big advantage that Texas built in the fall was basically balanced out perfectly by the downgrades they had in the winter. So Texas is still tracking along pretty much right where they were last year. So they're in a good position.
Good stuff. Speaking with Dr. Brett Wilkinson, we got to include the doctor in there, man. You deserve it. You went to school long enough. You get it. This is your final projected look of where you're thinking they're going to end up. Look how close Texas and Stanford are. It's going to be another buzzer beater, depending on maybe how baseball does, right? Because that's the very last sport to finish.
Exactly. So I did not know how this was going to shake out as I started plugging in the numbers over this week as rankings got updated. So I kind of figured it'd be Stanford and Texas close to the top. But when I saw that it was a 0.2 edge for Texas, I thought that was pretty hilarious at this part of the year. These rankings, of course, it's an inexact science. We all know that the rankings, you know, halfway through the season don't always match up with how things finish. So these numbers are going to go up and down. That's bound to happen. Right now we have Texas squeaking in to the postseason. So hopefully baseball can continue to make an upward swing here and make the tournament. Stanford baseball is not going to make the tournament. I mean, their RPI is like 150 right now. So that's huge, actually. That opens the door here for Texas to have a chance to win. If Stanford baseball made the postseason this year, they would win it. If they could get their basketball program, their men's program, working in the right direction, they would win it every year. But the door is open for Texas. It's going to be another tight finish between Texas and Stanford. So it should be exciting.
Good stuff, Brett. All right, Brett Wilkinson, thank you so much for joining us. Don't worry about the storms, man. You're going to be all right, buddy. You'll battle through them, but thank you so much for giving us. By the way, go to what's the URL there?
Direct_cupdates.
There we go. If you want to follow along with what Brett does, we appreciate you, bud, and hook him.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Hook 'em horns.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks, Brett.
Good stuff. We love bringing in guys that do stuff like this that are former Longhorns. Brett, obviously a guy that is a Longhorn through and through. And good stuff there. 0.2 out of 1,400 points. What's that, like a ratio of 0.01 or 0.1%? 0.1% maybe difference? That's crazy. After 37 sports played or 20 sports.
What he just said that was so important is Stanford's women's basketball coach, one of the best of all time, just retired yesterday. Their basketball hires are going to be huge moving forward in this in this Director's Cup. That's going to be huge. They got to make two really good hires. Obviously, they made a hire in basketball, but they've got to kind of keep women's basketball going in the right direction, and men need to take a step for them in the Director's Cup.
I tell you what else is huge, Jerry, is your read for Gooder, which it's time to do.
And you need to get out your pink flamingo, Gooder. Put your Gooders on, and let's talk about the best glasses. Look, best sunglasses I've worn. I love these things. And, I mean, you know, I'm the one that loses a pair of glasses every 3 months, whether you're on the road, leave one in a hotel, drop them in the water, whatnot. You don't have to worry about that with Gooder. These are 100% polarized and only $25, 50,000 plus 5-star reviews, and that number is going up by the day. To make no mistake about it, these things are you're seeing them more and more. You're seeing Gooder more and more. If you're looking at the side of the sunglasses, not the front, you're seeing that Gooder name a lot of places. These are check out the new Pop G styles, Vanguard Visionary, New Wave Renegade. That seems like that's what Bobby Burton would wear. Born to be Envied, Pop Art Prodigy. The mod one out and approaching cult status. I love these guys. I wear them all the time. I wore them a lot last Saturday on the Texas, big Texas recruiting day. Actually got a couple of compliments. People knew what Gooder was. They knew about Gooder. Look, because they're so affordable. I never worry about losing or breaking them because I'm one of those guys. Like I said, they're always releasing new colors and collabs. People on this on Texas football have talked about the UT Gooders. I love their names, the Black Nine Blackout, the Flamingos on a Booze Cruise. and the donkey goggles. They're great for running, cycling, which I will use them for when my lazy butt gets back on the bike, working out, golfing, going to the beach, hiking, or just chilling. If you want to support the show and try a pair, Gooder is giving On Texas Football listeners free shipping. You can go to gooder.com/ontexas and use code On Texas, all caps, for free shipping. Gooder offers a 30-day money-back guarantee, which you will absolutely not need, and 100% satisfaction, which you will absolutely have. Again, that's gooder.com/ontexas, all caps. Use that On Texas code, all caps, for free shipping.
I got to add this at this point in time, Jerry. Thanks for doing that read. And I will be wearing these sunglasses at our two events that we got coming up, by the way. I'm not so sure I will be, actually. I got to be honest. I'm not cool enough, probably. But no, next Wednesday, we're going to be over at the Posse from 3 to probably 6 or so. I will buy anybody that shows up a beer, as long as you're of age. Just come join. We're going to have a little get together of On Texas Football folks. Please come out and join us. I've invited some folks. Y'all, please join us and just hang out and have fun. Jerry will be there. Rod Babers will be there. We'll see. CJ's going to be there with us. I don't know if Blake's going to be able to get away. He's got a kid playing baseball this week. So we'll see how that goes, but please join us. And then the Saturday on game day of next week, the spring game, obviously starting at 1 o'clock. A lot of people are going to be over by the stadium. That's fine. But from 11 to 12, we're going to do a pregame over at a new place called the Victory Lap. It's right across from the Castilian on West Campus, if you're familiar with the area. It's got all kinds of different drink specials, beer specials, et cetera. We'll be hosting a little get-together and doing a pregame over there from 11 to 12 on Saturday. Join us on Wednesday at the Posse from 3 to 6 or over at Victory Lap, 11 to 12 on game day. Hook 'em. And thanks for that read, Jerry. It made me want to wear the glasses, actually.
Somebody asked, what time is Victory Lap opening?
That I do not know. I think it's going to be at 11, but I'll have to talk to the manager there. I'm supposed to go by there next Wednesday or Thursday when I'm in town and talk to her a little bit more.
All right, y'all. As you said just a minute ago, Bobby, we've had a lot of people join, both on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, and YouTube. And we're getting a lot of questions regarding the transfer portal. So let's circle back around to that. Let's talk about that a little bit. It's a hot topic of discussion, especially after the news yesterday. And let's just start with a very open question from James. Any transfer portal news?
Yeah, I'll set this up and then Bobby can take over. But the transfer portal officially opens April 16th. It runs through the 30th. That does not mean a kid has to have a decision by then. They just have to have be in the portal by April 30th. And there's two things here with the portal to watch for me. And it's always the same. When a prospect goes into the portal, do they check the no contact box? If they do that, they already know where they're going. So if somebody jumps in, clicks no contact, game on. If they don't, negotiations on. So that's two things with the portal. Bobby, I'll let you talk about the news yesterday about Bear Alexander. And it first started with USC sources saying they expected Bear to enter the portal, then was confirmed by a couple of others.
Yeah, absolutely. So Bear Alexander, defensive tackle out of USC, formerly of Georgia, formerly of USC, potentially, I guess, in the next 2 weeks or a week from yesterday. Then you have a situation where people are saying, okay, well, he's going in. So I actually did some digging on this early yesterday. And yes, if he goes in, Texas is interested, and he is interested in Texas. As a matter of fact, I would put the odds, if he goes in, I would put the odds at better than 50-50, he ends up at Texas. And Texas wants him. Texas, as I've mentioned, this whole offseason, guys, they were going to focus on defensive tackle in the portal. They had to. People are saying, well, is he the perfect fit? They don't necessarily have to have, everybody doesn't have to be a perfect fit. They need 20 to 30 snaps at nose, and they may need them 60 snaps at nose, not just him, but two people. I do believe the Longhorns are going to go after another defensive tackle in the portal. Bear Alexander does not preclude that from happening. Okay. I've said all along two, and I meant two. And so I think a lot of people are saying, oh, well, this is going to be the only one. Why would we chill out? They're going after two. It takes, Steve Sarkisian went after three wide receivers in the portal. Why wouldn't he go after three defensive tackles in the portal? He's already got Tia Savea. He's going to try to get Bear Alexander, it looks like, and then whoever else is left. If that means one of the Michigan defensive tackles, Kenneth Grant, more power to him. But look, Texas, we've also talked about the need for it. None of the existing Texas nose tackles, with the exception of Aaron Bryant, has more than a year on campus. Okay? The guys that are there right now are not zero techniques. They're not nose guards, except for Aaron Bryant. Sadir Mitchell is young. We already know that he's had issues. Alex January just got there 2 months ago. You don't need to put the cart before the horse on those guys. Let them develop the way that they should. Sark talks about it all the time. Everybody's on a different path. Don't force them into action. So they're going to go out and find guys that can play over the ball this offseason. Hopefully, great players or really good players are available. And that's, I do believe, I mean, look, Bear Alexander played as a true freshman some at Georgia. So don't act like he can't play with the big guys or he's not this or that. A lot of people are saying, well, he's this, or what about the camaraderie on the team? Look, Sark is doing this knowing he's in a different situation today than he was 2 or 3 years ago. He's built the culture. They've won. He's proven this is the right way. Okay? He can get them. I mean, Kirby Smart didn't have a problem with Bear Alexander on the team, by the way. He would have kept him on the team. He was growing. He elected to transfer. Texas did pass on him after Georgia, and the reason why was real simple. Texas didn't need him last year. They need him this year, right? I mean, it's the way of the world. So I'm not going to be sitting here and a lot of people are saying, oh, well, they should take him. They shouldn't take him. Look, it's not 85 choir boys on a football team. And for those of you guys thinking that it is, I just got, you know, it's not that way at Texas. And it never has been, by the way. Never has been. In the 69 National Championship, you can talk to people on that team. The vast majority were really good guys and really, I mean, all this other stuff. They weren't 85 choir, 100 choir boys on that team. A lot of good guys. But, I mean, when you talk about 85 people, it's a wide swath of individuals. And there's room for Bear Alexander on this football team is what I'm told. So, there we go.
We got a whole bunch of questions regarding this. Obviously, we can't get to them all, but we'll do a couple of them here. And also, Miles Christian, he says, where is he projected in next year's draft? So I looked at NFLMockDraftDatabase.com. They have three 2025 drafts that have him listed. One number 8 overall, one number 3 overall, and one at number 15. So
to Jerry's point, Jerry's shaking his hand. He's not going to go that high.
No.
No, he's not going to go that high.
But he's a draftable talent.
Yes, that's the point.
And he's then
325, 330 pounds in the middle.
We have a super chat regarding Bear. Ashley Harrington, thank you. It says, we keep talking about culture, and this will be Bear's third school. How does he fit in the Texas culture?
Well, I think that this is a fair question. What I think that has to happen, though, is you have to bring guys into your culture. Y'all remember a guy named A'shaun Robinson? Jerry, I know Jerry and Blake definitely do. There was talk that he was not going to be very good. Randy Galloway wrote this piece, I think, for the Star Telegram, that this blue chip recruit in the area has got all the markings of not being very good because he doesn't play hard. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. Well, you know what? He went to Alabama and he ingratiated himself into the culture. And now he's making a lot of money playing pro football. Everybody is not a finished product when they enter a college football program. You have to have a program, hopefully, that can take guys in and create them into something else. These guys aren't 30-year-old men when they join a football team in college, right? They are not predestined necessarily. And so my point on this is, you bring them in and try to get them into your culture. Maybe USC wasn't a real good place for him. Maybe Georgia was in some regards, right? Based on what we know. So So that's where I'm at, Ashley, on that. Thank you for your super chat, by the way. I love these kind of discussions because I think it cuts to the core. Some people have these idealized notions about who and what a team is. Man, the thing about a football team is there's a lot of people on it and a lot of different walks of life, a lot of different attitudes, perspectives. I mean, it is truly a cross-section of life. And so you gotta take them all.
Yeah. So Ashawn sparked some fun conversation. Yeah. Look, here's solid. Hey, here's the crazy thing about Ashawn. I went up to see him multiple times in high school. It sparked some conversation. Crazy thing about Ashawn to this day, there's a lot of college coaches, probably even some he played for, that think he would have been an all pro Hall of Fame level offensive guard to this day. But what Nick Saban did was said, you want to play defensive line? If that's where your heart's at, then I'll make you the best defensive lineman you can be. And that was so interesting. Is I remember somebody that was close to that high school, actually was a teacher at that high school. I got a picture sent to me when Nick Saban stopped by the school when Ashawn was still committed to Texas. And I could tell, you could tell from that picture that deal was over. I mean, yeah. A lot of schools, the majority of schools recruited him as an offensive lineman. And while I'm with those guys. I think he could have been great there. That's not where his heart was at. That's not what he wanted to play. And he still made a career for himself playing D-line. Is he as good as he would have been as offensive lineman? No. But he did make a career for himself. And the one thing I'll tell you, too, about him in high schools, if you're a 300, 310, whatever pound lineman playing in the heat in Texas high school football and you play both ways, you're definitely going to take plays off. It's hard. It's easier said than done.
I'm all for it. And I rarely take stands like this, Jerry. I'll be honest. I think that people are expecting, if you're expecting him to be the only one, then I think it's risky, right?
Right.
But they're not expecting that.
Right.
This is they're building a team, right? He's not expected to be sit there and take 70 snaps next year. He's part of the puzzle. And there are places for people to be part of the answer or part of the solution.
Antoine just got a question. Sometimes this is fun conversations. Kendall Jones, the Hulk from Killeen, what happened to him? Man, he ballooned up. Like, I mean, I don't know how much over 400 he was or how close to 500 he was, but there's a picture when he was at JUCO that if he wasn't in the close to 500, I'd have been shocked. I don't know where he's at today, but he got way, way, way big.
By the way, Ashawn Robinson's signing ceremony was the craziest signing ceremony I think I ever covered in my life. It had everything, marching band and mascots. I mean, it was just insane. Every time I hear that name, I go back to that moment. Oh, gosh. All right, y'all. Let's take this question here from Brandon Huey. We're going to switch gears and talk some team-related stuff here. He says, Jalen Gilbo could be the sleeper of the defense. What do y'all think with Jahdae Barron moving around more this year?
We're talking about this earlier for those that have just joined during the show because we have thousands that do. And thank you to all you guys for supporting us, by the way, and growing family here on a daily basis. But Sark mentioned Jalen Gilbo. He's back. That was a great quote to hear. If you're a Texas fan, because that means that if you want to move Jahdae Barron around, you can move him around more within that scheme. If Jalen Gilbo's back to the player he was before the knee injury, because Jalen Gilbo's so good, Gary Patterson tried to recruit him twice. Jalen Gilbo's a talented player.
Jalen Gilbo also, I was going to say this, saying he's back. Jalen Gilbo almost took Jahdae Barron's spot 2 years ago as a true freshman. I mean, I'm not saying there's a competition at Star against Jahdae Barron. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm saying it's very possible, if not likely, that Jalen Gilbo is one of the top five DBs on the Texas roster. Think about it that way. So what do they do? What do they do if that's the case? It definitely is kept. I will say this. Makuba could have moved down to Star. Right, Jerry?
Yeah.
Could have moved to Star. Kicked Barron out the corner or kicked Barron back to safety. Makuba has played almost all what I'm told, has played almost all safety exclusively in spring ball. And he played a star-like position at Clemson for 2 years. So that tells you what they're thinking right now on Jalen Gilboa.
Yeah.
Okay, Bobby, before we move on here, I know you got to get going. So why don't you tell folks out there about Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm?
Yeah, I've got a meeting here in like 3 minutes I've got to get that I can't miss. And I'm sorry for leaving early. But I want to say thank you to our sponsor each and every Wednesday's Coffee and Football, brought to you by Adam Lowy at the Lowy Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car wreck, truck wreck, motorcycle accident, even an ATV, and think you might be due some compensation, give Adam and his group a call or reach out to them online, lowylawfirm.com. They give you a free consultation. All you have to do is give them a call, reach out to them, and Adam and his group can help you out. Thank you very much, Adam, for your ongoing support of Coffee and Football. Hook 'em.
I want to thank Adam and his team for sponsoring each and every Wednesday. Bobby, before you get out of here, anything that you need to share with folks?
No, I mean, just a week from today, we're going to be, I want to say this again, a week from today, we're going to be at the Posse East. Would love some people to come out and hang out with us. Later today, we'll have the state of the program as well as a late night chat. Jerry's going to be on with Rod as well as CJ Vogel. That should be interesting. CJ and I and Jerry are going to talk on state of the program. And then, of course, please visit us on the website right now. We have a special going on for a new signups. OTFOG, use coupon code OTFOG. That'll give you $20 off an annual subscription. We're just making this a nominal deal. So if you use OTFOG, no space in there on the coupon code, you'll get the annual subscription for $39.95. We appreciate you guys very much joining us each and every morning. It's a lot of fun.
Jerry, are we taking any more questions? Or are we?
Yeah, let's take two or three questions. We'll let Bobby leave, and we'll take questions about Bobby. All right,
he's laughing in the background. We can still see. Oh man!
Hey, let's reset the recruiting real quick yes. as well, because we've talked so much teams. Sark met with the press yesterday. Texas will be back on the practice field Thursday, and then again on Saturday for somewhat of a big 2026 visit weekend. But Michael Fasusi, five-star, was on campus yesterday. All accounts, that visit went very well. He watched the majority of spring practice. He met with Sark. He met with Kyle Flood. Obviously, he spent some time with Texas players again. But the big part of that visit yesterday, from what I was told, was him and his father took an extended, longer tour look at the McCombs Business School. So I do think that's going to be big. I think he may have even connected with a couple of former Texas players yesterday on that visit. But I think that's big in the recruitment, is that McCombs Business School. It's a football and academic recruitment for one of the top offensive tackles in the country. I think Texas and Oklahoma both continue to have confidence in that recruitment. I think A&M's trying to really push their way into make it a top three instead of, I think right now, a top two that's been there for a while. I think Texas is in a solid position. He's got official visits scheduled to A&M, Oklahoma, and Texas in June in that order. We showed some video earlier of Kelshon Johnson. This is that. And I talked about Kelshon because this is how recruiting moves. And this is kind of where we're at in the process. Kelshon's mom's in nursing, so she couldn't make the visit Saturday. So Kelshon rode up with Jonah Williams and his family. Galveston County kids have known each other a while. So since his mom couldn't make that visit, Steve Sarkisian got on the phone with Kelshon's mom Sunday night, and they're really trying to push to get him back for the April 20th spring game. The issue there is April 20th spring game is going to be tough for Texas A&M and Oklahoma because it's a regional track meet weekend. So DeCorian Moore and those Duncanville kids, they have regional track meet. Zion Williams, regional track meet, throwing the shot, but he'd be done. But anybody that's running relays, sprints, if you're involved in the running part of the regional meets, it's pretty much a Friday, Saturday event for you. So not that attending the spring game is the most important thing. So if kids are looking at getting back on campus April 20th, it may be later, maybe a later Saturday in the Sunday versus attending the spring game, which Kelshon Johnson attending a spring game, that's not going to have any impact in his recruitment at this point. He's not going to see anything that's going to change his recruitment one way or the other at the University of Texas. So that's just where the recruiting process is unfolding. Not all the parents can make these unofficial visits if they work weekends, have those career, but then Texas is working to make that happen. So that's just where recruiting's at on some of these guys. So a little behind the scenes on how these processes are working, because each kid's different. Everybody's in a different lane depending on what their parents do for a living and those travel possibilities.
We have a super chat, Jerry, and then we'll do two more questions, both regarding wide receivers, and then we'll get out of here. But Daniel Earp, thank you, Daniel. Can't be there, but I'll donate to the beer fund.
So. Bobby Burton appreciates that.
For sure. And then let's start with this wide receiver recruiting question from Nick Ramos. He says, Jerry, is Texas going to take four receivers this class? Lockett, French, Moore, Johnson? Or are four guys hunting for three spots?
Yeah, I think that's kind of in the balance, whether it'll actually be three or four. We'll see what happens. I think the interesting thing with this recruiting class is Texas is in on – look, I like Texas' chances with DeCorey and Moore long-term. I'm sorry if there's LSU fans on the chat, but deal with it. I think Kalik Lockett is a true national recruitment of a kid in Sachse, Texas. Obviously, there's connections to SoCal. There's connections to LSU in the state of Mississippi there. He's going to visit all the places. He's been to Penn State, Ohio State. He was at Texas last weekend, right? Texas gets an official visit, last official visit, June 21st through 23rd. Jamie French is a kind of a wild card commitment, even though Texas moved into the top three with him. And I love Jamie French on tape. Love him, love him. Looked good in person Saturday, too. I'm going to go out and see him here in the next few weeks, but I'm a big Jamie French fan. But, you know, look, you're talking Ohio State, Miami, at Florida State's going to be at Tennessee, obviously. So right now you're talking Ohio State, Tennessee, Texas moving into that top three after the visit this weekend. That doesn't mean Miami's out. Look, they're going to be a player. Florida State will try to be a player. So that one's a total national wild card recruitment out of a kid at Mandarin High in Jacksonville. Look, Texas has broken into Florida. They've done very well, especially in the Central Florida, Orlando, that Southwest corridor with Tarshard Choice, who had been recruiting that area for years, finally getting into IMG. Now Texas is venturing into other areas in Florida, and one of those is Jacksonville. So that's a newer area for Texas to actually put feet on the ground and recruiting. So there's some national recruitments there. I think three is the most likely number. Could it go to four? I'm not saying that. Marcus Harris out of Modern Day is in the mix. Andrew Marsh in the mix. Obviously, we talked about Kelshon Johnson. I think the main thing is a lot of people are asking, could Texas get 3 5-star receivers in this class? I think the odds are no. You still recruit all those guys, but I think Texas is going to put together a 3-man class that's very, very talented.
And then we'll do one other wide receiver question, but this one more team-related. And we kind of talked about this yesterday, but it's something that's come up in the chat quite a bit today and obviously yesterday as well. But Sports Talk Jay says, I feel like I haven't heard about Jonte Cook very much. Sark has been praising Bond and even the freshman, Ryan Wingo. I just feel like there hasn't been a lot of talk about Cook in these practices and scrimmages.
I think Cook's been solid. I think he's been solid. UT boy, I'm sure UT boy, here he is. I see him in the chat. I think Jonte's been solid. I think he's on the right track versus last year where there was a bit more of a learning curve for him. Pre-snap so difficult in the Texas scheme for true freshman receiver, whether you come in January or not. I think Jonte continues to make strides. I think he's on the right development curve. I think I think he's going to have a solid season for Texas.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football presented by Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. We want to thank them along with Gooder and Prize Picks for sponsoring today's show. Thank you all for tuning in and for the super chats. To continue the conversation, head on over to ontexasfootball.com. By the way, if you haven't signed up, you need to become an OTF OG. You can use that coupon code right there. No spaces, just OTF OG. And you'll get a full year at $39.95. You can't beat that deal. Other than that, Jerry, unless you have anything, I guess we're out of here.
We've been talking to Jonte Cook. There's been some talk that he's had a drop issue. Jonte, if you go back to DeSoto, even the DeSoto staff would say more concentration versus hands. So I think that's the thing that's all different guys have to develop different areas. Jonte has been more concentration versus a hands issue. So I think that'll be continued part of his development as he works to maximize his talent.
There you go. All right. So for Jerry Hamilton and Bobby Burton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
You guys have a great day. Thanks for the support.